Luke chapter 6, we're in a text this morning that has a wider context. We're going to look at verses 12 through 16 over the course of the next couple of weeks. This morning we want to focus in on verses 12 and 13 because of the truth that we have here in the time of prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're mindful of the nature of prayer, and I'm sure that if I asked many of you, if you prayed before meals, you'd respond and say, yes, we pray before meals. Do you pray with your family? Yes, at times we pray with our family, and we're mindful of the different prayers that are shared and different prayers that are stated, and some have written in and made statements like this around the country to their pastors concerning their prayer, and these come from young people. This one says, dear pastor, I know God loves me, but I wish he would give me an A on my report card so I could be sure. Love, Teresa. Dear pastor, could you say a special blessing for my Aunt Beatrice? She has been looking for a husband for 12 years and still hasn't found one. Dear pastor, do I have to say grace before every meal, even when I'm only having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And I would say yes, especially then, because God gave us peanut butter and jelly. Amen. Dear pastor, thank you for your sermon on Sunday. I will write more when my mother explains to me what you said. Ouch. Dear pastor, please pray for all the airline pilots. I am flying to California tomorrow. Dear pastor, we say grace every night before we eat dinner, even when we have leftovers from the night before. Dear pastor, I say my prayer before I eat my supper, but my mother still makes me finish my spinach and drink my milk. And I appreciate that there. We are mindful of the nature of the word prayer and the nature of our prayer time. And we come to this section of Scripture, and it is significant, and I don't want to pass quickly over the profound nature of these two verses. The Bible says, of course, this is right after he has been in battle, spiritual warfare with the nature of the Pharisees and their religious attacks. We've looked at them through the end of chapter 5 and then on into chapter 6. But we pick up the reading in verse number 12. And I want you to see what the Bible says. It came to pass in those days that he, speaking of Jesus Christ, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. This morning we want to take our time in verses 12 and 13 and consider the prayer of Christ, the prayer of Christ. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time this morning. Father, thank you for the privilege that I have to stand before these folks. Thank you for the privilege that I have to open your word and to break bread with these dear ones. I pray that you be honored this morning with what is shared, what is spoken. Lord, I pray that I would speak only those things that be pleasing in your sight. I pray that you cleanse me of sin and fill me with your spirit. I pray, Father, if there be one that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be that day that they believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and they get saved. I pray for every believer as we speak on this matter of communication with Almighty God. I pray that it would be a help, a challenge, a conviction to each one. Lord, I pray that you direct in this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We believe here at the Fairfax Baptist Temple, and based upon the written word of God, we believe that Jesus is God. He is the great I Am, and beside him there is none else. We believe that that God exhibits himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is the Eternal One. He is the Omnipotent One. He is the Omniscient One. He is the Omnipresent One. We believe that Jesus, as God, took upon himself flesh and submitted himself to the will of the Father. He did not begin to exist at the time of his coming to the womb of Mary. He is eternally existent. And so we believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ as God. He is the one true God. And as with many other things that we see in his life, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, we see in his life the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this prayer life demonstrates both his humanity and his dependence upon the Father for his earthly life and ministry. The Son submitted to the will of the Father. We find that explicitly stated as he was there in the garden. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We find in Philippians chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of flesh, was made in the likeness of men. The Bible says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But we at the same time we believe in his eternal deity, we also believe in his humanity. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God 100% of the time. He never ceased from being God when he became flesh. The Bible says that God became flesh and dwelt among us. At different times in the Gospels, we see the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ on display. This is one of those times where the Lord himself will go into a time of prayer, not so much as a demonstration of what he could not do because he was in constant fellowship with the Father. But I believe he goes into this as a tremendous example for every one of us. The Lord Jesus Christ here exhibits for us the nature of a true prayer relationship with Almighty God. And so I want to read these verses again, and I want it to sink in. Again, this is God speaking with God, the Son speaking with the Father. And it says, "It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." As we look at the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you notice with me, number one, the place for this time of prayer. The place for this time of prayer. The Bible says it came to pass that he went into a mountain to pray. The choice of his location. We find in other places, such as Matthew 14, that he was so often surrounded by the crowds. So often they hurried under his wings and under the sound of his voice. And if he moved, they moved. But this was a time in which the Lord distanced himself from everyone else that he might be alone with the Heavenly Father. And I ask each one of us this morning, what is our place of solitude where you can be alone with the Lord Jesus Christ? Where you can be alone in a time of prayer. Now, for some, it may be in your home. It may be that prayer closet or even a proverbial prayer closet. It may be in the recesses of a basement and you're able to get alone with Almighty God, able to distance yourself from the hustle and bustle, the phones and the entertainment from the TV and the internet and everything else that's going on so that you might be alone with the Lord. For others, it might be a prayer walk in the neighborhood and you get up each and every day and you go on that walk or you have that time of exercise and the physical benefits that you get from that. But in the entirety of the physical fitness, you're communicating with Almighty God. For some, it might be a place like Burke Lake. And you say, "You know, Pastor, I've got this special place at Burke Lake and I found a place to sit and just meditate and speak with Almighty God." We would ask ourselves this morning, does it require a special place? Not necessarily. But I tell you what, there is something to be said for a special place. There is something to be said for that place where you will get alone with Almighty God and distance yourself from all that is going on in the rest of the area. The Bible, of course, tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 17, pray without ceasing. We know that the rest of that in the Greek, it says, because the traffic is so horrible. And we better be praying. My wife has never been such a prayer warrior as she is now that we live back here in the Washington, D.C. area. She prayed for me when I was driving in Tennessee, but she begs God for mercy and endurance with my driving here. And I keep telling her, I was taught driver's ed here. Of course, you can trust me. She does not. She is genuinely praying without ceasing. But we move beyond just that general dependence upon Almighty God for our daily life to that place of no distractions. Now, I don't know about you, but it benefits me to be in a place with no distractions, because there are times in my walk, in my prayer life, that I'm praying for something and the phone rings and I'm distracted immediately from what I was praying about. Have you ever been on your knees and you're praying and you're saying, "Dear Lord, would you work in these circumstances?" And, "Oh, that's right, I need to get milk and bread on my way home from the office today." Or the baby starts to cry in the distant room, and so the prayer time is interrupted. The desire for that alone time is interrupted. The story is told in the African culture that the converts there in the early African culture, they converted to Christianity and they were earnest and regular in their private devotions. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket where he would pour out his heart to God. Over time, the paths to these places became well worn. And as a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to others. And they would kindly remind the negligent one, "Brother, the grass grows on your path." As you and I speak about the nature of our prayer life, do we have that place that we would resort to and say, "You know what, this is my place. I have the need of significant communication with my Heavenly Father. This is not the only time that we see the Lord finding that place of solace in the mountainside. But the Lord resorted there often because there was the need of significant communication, and we find His place there in the mountain. But would you notice with me, number two, not only the place that He went to, but would you notice with me the amount of time that He spent in prayer? The Bible says in the latter part of verse 12 that He continued all night in prayer to God. He continued all night in prayer. On a number of occasions through the years of being either here in the ministry and growing up, or being in other ministries, we've had all night prayer meetings. And they're tiring. They're physically demanding. There are many reasons why you might be kept up all night. Perhaps you work a third shift job. Perhaps you're on a rotation cycle where you go in 8 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock in the morning. And so in that third shift job, you have to remain vigilant in the overnight hours. Perhaps an illness has kept you up all through the night. Perhaps it is a child that is ill and you're dealing with that youngster. Perhaps on a few occasions you've been involved on the all-night activity with the teen department. And you said, "I'll never do that again." There's all kinds of reasons why we could spend the night up without sleep. But on this night, again, demonstrating the humanity of Christ, Christ denied Himself. The sleep that we would otherwise need and enjoy, and Christ spends the night in prayer, communication with Almighty God. Christ in this passage demonstrates to us by the time invested and by the sacrifice of rest and sleep how important the matter would be. And so He's willing to deny Himself. He's willing to set aside what you would otherwise be doing at the hour because He believed that the significance of the matter was worthy of this kind of communication. It's a young man named Hudson Taylor. When he was 18 years old, he wandered into his father's library and read a gospel tract. He couldn't shake off its message. And finally, falling to his knees, he accepted Christ as his Savior. Later, his mother, who had been away at the time, returned home. When Hudson Taylor told his mother the good news, she said, "I already know. Because 10 days ago, the very date on which you're telling me you read that tract, I spent the entire afternoon in prayer for you until the Lord assured me that my wayward son had been brought into the fold." When a matter of significance comes across your path, do you have that place that you would resort to? Apart from distractions and apart from all of the things that are going on in the world, do you have that place that you would go and say, "You know, I need that place. I need to spend that place, be in that place and spend time with Almighty God"? Are you willing to sacrifice other things that your body might naturally desire? Maybe it's a time of fasting. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's sleep. But you'd say, "You know, this is so significant to me that I don't want anything else to come in the way." Brings us to the third point here in verse number 13. And this is kind of the crux of the matter. What is the subject for which the Lord went to the mountain to pray? What is the subject for which he spent the entire night in prayer to his heavenly Father? Well, the Word of God says, and this is significant, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. You see, there were many disciples. There were many people that were following the Lord Jesus Christ. But of them, he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. In the coming week, we're going to walk down through that list of men. But when we look at this, the nature of this choice, these 12 apostles are very significant. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of our local church. But the Word of God tells us that upon that foundation, the next layer are these men that you and I are going to read about in the coming week. These men are very significant to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a significant role in the book of Acts and how the entirety of the book of Acts unfolds before our very eyes. And so this is more than just selecting a vice presidential running mate. It's more than the selection that a campaign would have for the selection of a president. It's more than who you might select to have in a place of employment. But we realize in verse number 13, this is a very weighty matter, and he spends all night in prayer, praying for this. I could not help but have my mind think on the other times that we see the Lord go into a time of solace and prayer. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. I want you to see two of these. And I want you to think of the nature of what we have before us. Here in Luke chapter 6, he goes into the mountain that he might pray over the matter of the selection of the apostles, praying for them and what was ahead. But now would you notice that there's another time that the Lord gets alone and has this time of prayer? Would you notice that in Matthew 14, in verse number 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." So we find the Lord going into the mountaintop to pray. Because he's about to select these apostles out of the number of the disciples. And these would be significant men for the foundation. And that second layer of the foundation of the local church. But we find him again going into the mountain apart to pray. And why did he go this time? Do you notice the verse where the Bible says that the Lord sent the disciples in the boat? The Lord knew full well what was about to happen as they would get on the boat. And that boat would now be in the midst of the sea and the storm would begin to rage. And where is the Lord Jesus Christ? Man, I tell you, that stirs me to no end. The Lord himself is alone praying for his 12. He prays for their selection. And now he's praying for them in the midst of trial. And the storm hits. And of course, we know the nature of the story. And Jesus comes walking on the sea to them. So he prays for their selection. He's praying for them in the midst of trial. Will you go to Matthew chapter 26? Matthew chapter 26. Praying for them in their selection. Praying for them in the midst of their trials. Matthew chapter 26. Would you notice with me in verse number 36? Matthew 26 and verse number 36. By the way, if I can insert this, Judas Iscariot knew right where to find the Lord Jesus Christ, because this was a familiar location. The Lord went there often to pray. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 36, would you read there with me? Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. The Lord Jesus Christ spends time here in the Garden of Gethsemane praying for his disciples through temptation. As you see the greater context here, the disciples were going to face the greatest temptation that they had ever faced in the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord himself. And he tells the disciples, I have prayed for you. Let me turn my attention to you as we think on these three examples from the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed in the selection of the apostles. He prayed for the apostles in the time of trial. He prays for the apostles in what is going to be their time of temptation. And he says, men, stay alert, be vigilant, spend time in prayer right now, because it will make a difference for what is ahead. Let me turn my attention to you and to me. Do you have a major decision on the horizon? How much time have you spent alone with God in prayer? Oh, I know we have the statement, if you would, I'll pray about it. Praying about it. If I can use some illustrations, How long does the young man and the young lady really bathe in prayer the nature of their coming engagement? Oh, the day is so exciting. The young man is going to ask this young lady if she will be his bride. But I wonder how much time we really spend in prayer if we really believe that that's the second most important decision that you're going to make in your life. Pastor, what is there to pray about? I mean, he's good looking. I'm good looking. He's got a job. He's got his own apartment. I mean, everything is there. What is there to pray about? You know, it's a life-altering choice. I believe it'd be worthy of prayer. What college is a young person going to go to? Can a college change the direction of a young person's life? Absolutely. Oh, well, Pastor, I didn't even have to pray about it. I got all these recruiting letters in the mail, and they all said that they wanted me to come, and so I just picked the one that was going to give me the most. Does that sound anything like what we're reading here in the passage? Should it not be that in that kind of a decision, we say, thank you for the opportunity. Now let me ask God what He would have me to do? A career change. Individuals have found you via your resume being on the World Wide Web. And they said, oh, we really want you. We're going to pay you X number of dollars. And how soon can we get you? You're so important to us. And we just think, well, it must be God's will. But is that not a significant thing? And we take it before God and say, God, please show me. Is there a loved one that's away from Almighty God? And while we might mention them in passing as we get ready to eat our supper and we say, Lord, bless all of our family members near and far away. And oh, work on my brother's heart that he might get right with you. Would that not be cause for us to spend the time in the quiet place? Sacrifice all else that we might see God work? That we might align ourselves with God's will. Now, I understand that we can't always get to that quiet place. We can't always get to that location, or we may not always have the opportunity to be away from the children or away from the hustle and bustle. And I know that it might not always be available, but I tell you what, I sure look at my life and I say, there have been some mountaintop decisions. And they sure should have been bathed in more prayer than over the course of the meal and saying, Lord, give wisdom in this. Do we bathe it in prayer? I don't know that there's any way that we can fully understand all of the consequences of every choice that we're about to make. But I know this, God knows the beginning from the end. And if God knows the beginning from the end, then I surely want to align myself with what He sees. And I want to put my will in line with Him. I want to put my heart in line with Him. And I want to be so sensitive to His leading that in spending this kind of time in prayer, I say, and I acknowledge, God, Your will be done. Are you dealing with a major health issue at this time? You have a major path change for your life. No doubt if we went around the congregation this morning, we could find a myriad of different things that people are facing, choices that are on the deck. Maybe there are some that are going through trials. Maybe some that are facing great temptations. Tell me about your place. that's removed from distractions where you get alone from God? Are you and I willing to make sacrifices of what we would otherwise have? Sleep and maybe food and fasting. Are we willing to make those sacrifices that we might make communication with God of utmost importance? Dear God, please save this loved one. Dear God, please be merciful to this rebel, this prodigal. Dear God, please work in this circumstance. Dear God, please give me direction in this decision. Should I ask her to marry me? Is this your will for my life? Should I go here or there for college? Should I have this kind of a career? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What is the nature of your place? What is the nature of the time that you're willing to invest? What is the subject matter that is on your heart right now? A famous general from our military history made this statement. Knowing that intercessory prayer is our mightiest weapon and the supreme call for all Christians today, I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray. Believing that prayer is the greatest contribution that our people can make in this critical hour, I humbly urge that we take time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, at noonday, at sundown, at midnight, all through the day. Let us all pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our pastors, our homes. Let us pray for our churches. Let us pray for ourselves that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ and His redeeming love. Let us pray for moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders. Let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice. And I would have to sit on the front row of the auditorium and not raise my head in response to that statement, but to lower my head and to say, oh me. Because I do not believe that's the kind of heart that I have lived out on this matter of prayer. Oh, but you're a pastor. Of all people, you should have the communication with God. Of all people, you should have that kind of communication that puts all the rest of us to shame. But I tell you what, and this would not be a surprise to me at all. I tell you, there's some dear individuals in this church and in churches just like this all around the globe where there's a very quiet person that has this kind of a place and is willing to make these kinds of sacrifices. And that takes subject matter after subject matter after subject matter before Almighty God and just begs God to work where all human work has been accomplished. And I tell you what, sometimes it's a dear elderly lady. And she'll call in and she'll say something like this: I can't always make it to services, but I'm always praying. Where there's an older gentleman that declares, you know what, you're on my heart and I'm praying consistently for you. There's a teenager that has committed themselves to prayer because they know that it's made a difference in their home life. See, the Lord did not have to take these steps because He was God. But I believe that the Lord gives to us in these two verses a very challenging example for what we should do because we don't have near the power to accomplish tasks as Almighty God. Now let me ask you this morning, tell me about your special place. Tell me about the amount of time that you've spent alone with God praying for those things, praying for those matters that mean most to you. What is it that you are facing right now that might require this kind of intense communication. Don't wait for the message to be given by the doctor. Have this kind of communication with Almighty God, knowing that Jesus Christ holds the future. Jesus believed it was important enough to get away to that place. He believed that this matter was important enough to deny himself some physically rejuvenating things. And he believed it was significant enough in making the selection of these men that he would spend this time alone with his Heavenly Father. And I say to one and to all, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, how can we not be convicted over the nature of our shallow prayer walk? If I were today to say this, if you believe that your prayer life is not what it ought to be, you can certainly come forward this morning and change that today. I don't know that any of us could stay in the pew. But I pray that we'll not pass over verses like this and think, well, that's nice. Jesus talked with his Heavenly Father. But I want us to see the deeper issue and how it applies to you and to me. Where are you in your prayer walk? Let's pray.